Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. The recently concluded UN Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland has been much in the news of late, and rightfully so, as the global climate emergency that was the focus of the event grows more urgent by the day. Here in North Carolina, state government has been frustratingly slow to respond to the crisis, and as recently as a few years ago, Republican lawmakers even sought to prohibit the study of sea level rise attributable to rising global temperatures. Fortunately, in recent years, state leaders seem to have started to raise their heads out of the sand of climate change denialism. Recently, I had the chance to talk to a lawmaker who attended the Glasgow conference and hopes to expedite that trend, Durham County State Senator Natalie Murdoch.
Welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob. Really looking forward to the conversation, and thanks for having me today.
It's our pleasure. I guess I want to begin with a very special topic in which you have been a truly unique contributor in recent weeks, and that's the recent United Nations Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland. How did that come about that you had this opportunity, and tell us what it was like?
Yeah, I love telling the story of how I even ended up there as a legislator, and as I will now become, you know, no longer a freshman and get to mentor others. Really take advantage of being members of national organizations. I'm a member of Elected Officials to Protect America. And honestly, what makes their mission a little bit unique, it's sitting legislative members and elected officials, but the founders, one of them was term limited out with a legislator in Maine. And but was also in the military, and he saw the direct connection between climate change and national security.
Absolutely.
He had stories in Afghanistan where a lot of conflicts were a result of drought and not having the means to farm and not having the ability to take care of yourself. So he saw a connection around climate change and national security. And as a Democrat, but knew that that was an argument that we could take to Republicans to say, you may not want to say climate change or believe that it's real, but let's talk about the very real national security interests we have in combating climate change, whether it being independent of fossil fuels, having more renewable energy so that we're more self-sufficient. So really believe that they were on to something with their mission. And also, it's a phenomenal way for me to network with legislators across the nation. So Elected Officials to Protect America, I joined their National Leadership Council. And so that was the sponsoring organization. It was myself along with eight or so other legislators from Oregon to Colorado to Hawaii to Arizona. So we were there with the mission of letting folks know that they have state partners as we work with President Biden globally to get a handle on climate change and to start to come up with long-term solutions.
We're so glad you were able to do that. Talk to us about what it was like. I mean, I'm sure it was an amazing experience, a pretty daunting, huge experience to plunge into and to feel like just to even keep track of what's going on, I suppose. But can you give our listeners a feel for even a little bit of what it was like to be there?
I sure will. Obviously, I'm a state senator. And so we were in session and voted that morning on the maps. We're in the middle of redistricting and hopped on a plane at 2:30 that afternoon and was one of around 40,000 registrants for COP. So the acronym is COP, Conference of Parties. And this was the 26th COP.
Right.
The reason this COP was so important coming off of Paris, this was the big five-year COP where across the world, nation states came together to say, what have we done since Paris? You know, what are we doing to get to that magic number of trying to reduce warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius? And you really could feel the electricity in the air. America should be a leader in this space. We had 4 years of absence under the previous administration, a very, very dark time. Even Speaker Pelosi, who attended, called it a dark time. So President Biden wanted to come back really strong. And you could really feel that no matter what nation I spoke with, it was all eyes on the United States, and glad that we're doing this reporting when the Build Back Better Act has made it out of the House. A lot of what we hoped to bring to the table in Scotland was really tied up in the Build Back Better Act with $555 million investment in clean energy and renewables. But President Biden gave remarks early on, along with leaders from South Africa to the UK. Queen Elizabeth would have attended if she wasn't sick, but Prince William attended, you know, along with his wife and Prime Minister of Germany. Apparently, Angela Merkel has very deep history in climate work. I learned that while I was there. So of course, all the major players, and just once in a lifetime opportunity of honestly the unity that has come globally around this issue, because as we all know, it's more than what is the U.S. going to do? You know, what is Brazil going to do? I mean, it's one of those issues where every nation globally has to come together. We have to do our part. We can't do this alone. So very unique feeling of global unity that it takes an issue such as climate change for all of us to go together, to work together. I believe some 300 countries were represented. So you walk in what you call the Blue Zone, was honored to be in the Blue Zone. Everybody didn't make it in there, but got credentials for the Blue Zone. You walk in all of these different countries, including the U.S. We have our own pavilions. And in addition to a lot of what you saw on CNN and on TV, you get to walk to these pavilions and learn what are they doing in Indonesia? What are they doing in Turkey? You know, even Korea, you know, had some space there. What are they doing in these other countries so that we can hit these goals? And just very overwhelming, but learned so much, and just was honored to be one of the 40,000 folks that all descended upon Scotland to fight climate change.
Well, that's pretty heady company to be in. We're so glad you're doing that. I mean, it's increasingly clear to me that this is not just about climate change. It's about a global climate emergency, really, that we confront. And I'm so glad. I think all of us are so glad that you were there. We know that this is a problem that's affecting all of us every day. It's going to have a disproportionate impact, usually, on people of low income, people of color around the world. And that's probably true in North Carolina as well.
Very much so. And that is honestly the key reason why I was added to the National Leadership Council as a new member of Elected Officials to Protect America, let them know they cannot leave communities of color behind. I'm a self-proclaimed brain brown girl. I was a soil and water supervisor before becoming a state senator. I think one of only two soil and water supervisors who made it to the General Assembly. And so long before becoming a senator, have family in Wilmington, North Carolina native, born and raised. So have family members that have seen the impacts of sea level rise and more extreme storms. I mean, just unprecedented flooding in areas such as New Bern. And as you know, we know our history, a lot of the land that individuals of color who remain, you know, following Reconstruction and slavery, low-lying, undesirable land that is more prone to flood. So even if they farm there and, you know, found ways to become self-sufficient, it is not ideal land. And so now that, you know, the 100-year floods are gone, it is 50-year, it's 25 years, 10 year, and just the long-term impacts of that. And to be honest, we've seen that culture change even in our budget. I know we're going to talk about the budget later, but you'll see funding for resiliency. You know, I have colleagues across the aisle who resiliency is now their favorite word, simply because they they see the flooding, they see the storms, they see the long-term impacts of having mold in a school that continues to flood cycle after cycle. Even in Durham, we're experiencing some of that in some areas. And so it's costing us money. So we just have to get real and get honest about how will we combat that. And some of those solutions are local. Even our own Mayor Shull here in Durham, along with Bloomberg, they consider themselves climate mayors. Back to that dark time, those 4 years when we didn't have a federal partner, you had to look locally. And so, as you mentioned, communities of color not only deserve to have a seat at the table, but we have to connect the dots to, you know, communities like mine to show them that they have to be a part of these conversations and solutions around climate change. It takes all of us so that we can build a more sustainable future.
We're talking with State Senator Natalie Murdoch of Durham County about her inspiring attendance at the Global Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland. And our time is whizzing by, but you've mentioned the state budget and it has implications for the climate emergency, but a lot of other stuff in there. I know you had some real concerns about, there were good parts in that budget, but I know you had some concerns about it. Can you talk a little bit about your take on the new state budget we finally have and the good and the bad there?
Yeah. We'll definitely give highlights from the budget and just two other quick pieces with COP. I think globally, do know we will be winding down with coal, but that is direct correlation to what we're seeing here in North Carolina with the bipartisan energy bill. You do see that we will be phasing out coal over time and retiring coal plants. Activist groups wanted to see stronger language coming out of COP around fossil fuels. So we know that we have to do something else around fossil fuels. Folks wanted to see the words phase out, but it more so winding down was the language that we received. But we also know that we have to do more to make sure we don't have warming that will exceed that 1.5 degrees Celsius. So the U.S. and other partners, other nation states will be working throughout the next year as we get ready for Cairo. So perfect transition to the state budget. There is a lot of good in it. I don't want to lead with my opposition to what I understand the governor's position. There were federal dollars tied up that were included in this budget. Unfortunately, we weren't able to have another federal recovery package out of the state. A lot of those federal dollars were tied into the state budget. So that alone, I do want to preface a lot of kind of the decision making that went into why, in my opinion, I think the governor moved forward specifically. But there was a lot of good in the budget. I fought for things that actually made it in the budget. We, you know, were able to get state employee pay up to $15 an hour. That is something that I have championed, filed legislation around it, even tried to amend a previous budget to get that pay up, especially certified staff. We were able to get 5% raises for our teachers. We were able to get unprecedented funding for a number of cabinets that the governor does manage, including DEQ, from Clean Water Management Trust Fund to Conserving Lands. It's the first time in years that those funds have exceeded $100 million. So I do want to highlight some of those positives. But for me, the buck still stops with us. And as a senator, I legislate in a way where I vote my conscience. I want to be able to not only sleep comfortably at night, but do what's best for my district. And so a teacher supplement was added to the budget of $100 million in recurring dollars. And our urban counties, including Durham, were excluded. And in Durham, we have zip codes where you cannot get a one-bedroom apartment for less than $1,200. So just because we're an urban county, it doesn't mean that it's easy to live here, affordable to live here. The apartment that I'm in, I pay over $1,300 a month. I'm a senator that still rents. So I think we should have had access to that supplemental income to assist our county commissioners and the supplemental pay that they provide to our teachers and principals. So I had an issue with that. We also have unprecedented revenue. The governor's initial proposal would have put teachers' raises at 10%. So I think we could have negotiated to closer to 7% with inflation alone. Teachers really would have needed about 5.9%. So I thought 5% was too low. That's the reason I voted against it. But more than anything, it was a no because of a zeroing out corporate taxes. And folks will push back and say, it's not that much revenue. Yes, it is. Because no matter what that revenue is, we will make that up with low income folks that have to pay taxes for food and gas and all these other things. We still have roads. We still have bridges, whether you be Apple or Google, that are right here in my backyard. The Research Triangle Park is in my district. They want clean water. We use tax money for that. They want quality public schools. They want roads and bridges that are sufficient. So that is how we pay for things. We have to pay taxes. Everyone has to pay their fair share. So at the federal level, we're talking about a wealth tax. But here in North Carolina, we're zeroing out corporate taxes. I think we're completely out of step with where we should be. As a 37-year-old senator, I'm the senator that's going to have to bring that income back once the bottom falls out in 2030. It's not sustainable in the long term. It's just not smart.
We applaud you for your courageous stance and making a statement about a budget that obviously is deeply flawed. And perhaps there were political realities that dictated getting something into law, but it is sort of a disappointing day that that was the best we could do. Gosh, Senator, I wish we could talk all day, but we were out of time. The good thing is we'll get to do this again probably in the new year. So thank you so much for all you do, and especially for putting in the effort to travel across the ocean to represent our state. Thank you for that important work, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Rob. Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll hear some hopeful news about recent state and federal action that could make a real and positive difference for North Carolina cities. Stay with us.